The question, which codec should I use for a latency-sensitive Jetson pipeline, does not have a single obvious answer on paper. H.264 is the oldest standard with the longest hardware support history. H.265 offers better compression. AV1 is the newest and is a Jetpack 6 edition. Published latency comparisons for Jetson's NVMM, NVV4L2, codec stack are sparse, and the ones that exist rarely separate in code, wire, and decode into distinct measured stages. This post is the benchmark I wanted to find but couldn't. The setup, two Jetson Orin boards on a GBE LAN. Video Testerc hardware encoder TCP hardware decoder. GStreamer pad probes record wall clock timestamps at 4 points in the pipeline. Crony synchronizes the two Jetson clocks to within plus or minus 234 microseconds. 900 frames per combination, 30 frame warm-up discarded. 6 combinations total. H.264, H.265, AV1, times, FHD 1920 times 1080, HD 1280 times 720. TLDR, AV1 wins end-to-end at every resolution. H.264 is not second. It is last by a large margin, because the NVV for L2 decoder holds 4 frames in an internal decoded picture buffer before releasing output, adding 130 to 170 milliseconds of hidden latency that does not appear in any encoder specification. Section, hardware and test conditions. All codecs are hardware accelerated via NVIDIA's V4L2, NVV4L2 interface. Both systems run inside the same Docker image built from Ubuntu 22.04 with GStreamer 1.22 installed. Section, pipeline architecture. Section, Cinder, H.264 example. 1. Video Tester produces raw i4 20 frames at exactly 30 frames per second. Islive equals true is mandatory. Without it, the encoder runs at unbounded speed, fills the TCP sync buffer in 1.5 seconds, and the receiver gets a midstream join without parameter sets. 2. NVVid SNV converts to NVMM backed NV12 so the encoder can do a DMA transfer directly from GPU memory. 3. NVV for L2 H264 Inc. does hardware encoding. Insert SPSPPS equals true iframe interval equals 30 embeds parameter sets at every IDR frame so the receiver can sync even on a midstream join. Number B frames equals 0 disables B frame reordering, a necessary condition for meaningful latency measurement, since B frames introduce intentional encoder delay. 4. H.264 parse reframes the byte stream into access units. 5. The TX underscore probe identity element is where the sender timestamps the buffer just before it enters the TCP sync. Section, receiver, H.264 example. 1. TCP client source receives the TCP byte stream. 2. H.264 parse reframes it into access units and passes them to the decoder. Notably, there is no caps property on TCP client source. Trying to set caps directly on it produces a GST underscore parse underscore error. The parse element after the source handles format negotiation. 3. Decunf underscore probe timestamps the buffer entering the decoder. 4. NVV for L2 decoder does hardware decoding. 5. Deck underscore underscore probe timestamps the buffer exiting the decoder. 6. Fake sync discards frames. We are measuring latency, not displaying. Section, AV1 differences. AV1 uses NVV for L2 AV1 ANC with iframe interval equals 30 insert seek header equals true. The insert seek header equals true flag is the AV1 equivalent of insert SPSPPS equals true. It embeds the sequence header OBU at every IDR frame. Without it, AV1 parse on the receiver outputs 0 frames after a midstream join because it cannot determine video dimensions from interframes alone. The receiver uses a bare AV1 parse with no explicit caps filter. The sequence header OBU carries enough information for the parser to negotiate dimensions automatically. Section, sender synchronization, paused plus client added. A subtle but important design choice. The sender pipeline starts in pause state. TCP server sync binds its port in paused, so the receiver can connect before encoding begins. When the receiver's TCP client source connects, TCP server sync fires a client-added signal. The sender's Python code responds with glib.idle_add, pipeline, a set_state, GST, state.playing, which transitions the pipeline and starts encoding with zero buffer queue depth. Without this, the sender would be encoding at 30 frames per second while the receiver is still starting up. The TCP sync would buffer 8+ seconds of encoded frames, and the receiver would measure wire latency that includes the time those frames spent queued in memory, inflating wire measurements by 8,600 milliseconds, an outlier we observed during early testing without this fix. Section: Timing Methodology. For timestamps, three latency stages. All timestamps are taken with Python's time.time_ns inside GStreamer pad probe callbacks. Because probes fire synchronously on the streaming thread, there is no additional scheduling jitter beyond what the OS introduces. Section: Metadata insertion and frame identity. Sender side: PTS as frame index. Video tests sets each buffer's PTS to frame_idx times, GST second/FPS. With number B frames equals 0, the NVv4L2 encoders preserve PTS unchanged through the encode stage. The sender probe callbacks recover the frame index as PTS/frame_ns and store it as the CSV key. PTS is not transmitted across TCP. TCP server sync sends a raw byte stream, GStreamer buffer metadata, PTS, DTS, duration flags, lives in the GST buffer struct and is never serialized onto the wire. TCP client source on the receiver delivers a bare byte stream with no timing metadata attached. Receiver side, sequential counter. After a parse element, each output buffer is exactly one access unit, one frame. The receiver uses a monotonically incrementing counter for frame_idx. This is safe because parse NVV for L2 decoder is a 1:1 FIFO with number B frames equals 0, no reordering. TCP is lossless and in order on a LAN. The sender and receiver counters align because both start at 0 and neither pipeline drops frames. Inband bitstream metadata. Insert SPSPPS equals true, H.264/H.265, and insert seek header equals true, AV1, embed codec parameter sets into the bitstream at every IDR frame. This is bitstream level metadata, not GStreamer buffer metadata, and is transmitted. It allows the receiver's parse element to determine video dimensions and frame rate from any IDR boundary, enabling midstream joins without prior signaling. Section: Clock synchronization. Wire latency is the only stage that requires clock synchronization between the two machines. Encode and decode are measured entirely within a single host, so no cross-machine timing is needed for those stages. But wire equals dec_ns-tx_ns subtracts a receiver timestamp from a sender timestamp. Those two clocks must agree. The achieved offset on this run, +202 microseconds ±234 microseconds. At 30 frames per second, one frame equals 33.3 milliseconds. That is 0.7% of a frame period, well within the acceptable range for latency measurements in the 67 to 100 milliseconds range. Section: How to sync two Linux machines with NTP using Chrome. This section is a self-contained how-to for anyone who needs sub-millisecond clock agreement between two Linux hosts on the same LAN, not only for this benchmark, but for any cross-host timestamp comparison. Section: Why NTP and why Chrome EE specifically? The Network Time Protocol, NTP, synchronizes clocks by measuring the round-trip time to a reference server, estimating one-way propagation, and applying a correction to the local clock. On a LAN with sub-millisecond RTT, NTP routinely achieves ±100 to 500 microseconds accuracy. Chrome EE is the recommended NTP implementation on modern Linux. It converges faster than the classic NTPD, especially after cold starts or when the initial clock error is large, handles intermittent network connections better, and exposes better diagnostics via Chrome EEC. It ships by default on Ubuntu 20.04+ and most Jetson Jetpack images. Section: NTP stratum levels. NTP uses a stratum hierarchy to describe clock quality. On an air-gapped land with no GPS or internet, neither machine has a real stratum zero source. The solution is orphan mode. Crone EE allows a host to declare itself stratum 1 autonomously, using its own free-running local oscillator as the reference. The receiver then treats the sender as a legitimate stratum 1 source and syncs to it. Both machines agree with each other, even though neither is tied to an absolute time standard. For a latency benchmark, this is exactly what we need: relative agreement between the two clocks, not absolute UTC accuracy. Section, step-by-step, configure sender as NTP server. 1. Install Crone EE on both hosts, if not already present. 2. Configure the sender as a stratum 1 orphan NTP server. Write the following to /etc/crone-e/crone-nf on the sender. Local stratum 1 orphan declares this machine as a stratum 1 reference. Orphan prevents it from advertising itself as a time source unless it is actually in sync with itself, prevents loops in larger setups. Allow 192.168.1.0/24. Permits NTP queries from any host on the subnet. Substitute your actual subnet. Drift file, persist the measured oscillator drift rate across reboots so Crone E does not have to relearn it each time. Make step 1.03, allows a step correction rather than a slow slew for the first 3 clock updates if the offset exceeds 1 second. This speeds up initial convergence. RTC sync keeps the hardware RDC in sync with the system clock. Wait approximately 60 seconds for Crone EE to stabilize its stratum 1 declaration. During this window, the sender is still converging its own internal clock model. The receiver should not start syncing until the sender is stable. 3. Configure the receiver to sync from the sender. Write the following to /etc/crone-e/crone-nf on the receiver, substituting the sender's IP. Server, sender IP, iburst prefer, sets the sender as the only NTP source. iburst sends a burst of 8 packets on startup instead of 1, reaching initial sync 4.8 times faster. Prefer marks this source as preferred when multiple sources are configured. Section, step by step, verify sync quality. Run on the receiver after 60 seconds. For this benchmark run, system time equals +202 microseconds. RMS offset equals 221 microseconds. Both are well under the 1 milliseconds target. The asterisk next to the sender IP confirms it is the active reference. The +198US is the last measured offset. +/-309US is the estimated uncertainty. Section, the full setup script. Scripts/setup_timesync.sh automates both roles. Run sequence from your dev machine. Section, common failure modes. Section, why +/-234 microseconds is sufficient here. The wire latency measurements in this benchmark are in the 67 to 100 milliseconds range. A +/-234 microseconds clock error represents 0.35% of the 67 milliseconds H.264/AV1 wire measurement, 0.23% of the 100 milliseconds H.265 wire measurement. For the benchmark's purpose, comparing codecs, not computing absolute latency, this error is negligible. Even if the offset were a full millisecond, it would shift all wire measurements equally and not change any codec comparison. For applications where absolute wire latency accuracy matters, e.g., measuring 5 milliseconds video paths, consider PTP, IEEE 1588, with hardware timestamping support, which achieves sub-microsecond accuracy on compatible NCs. Section, results. All values in milliseconds. Format, mean/P95. Section, summary, E2E latency. AV1 beats H.265 by 30 milliseconds and H.264 by 120-160 milliseconds at both resolutions. Section, per stage breakdown, FHD 1920x1080. Section, per stage breakdown, HD 1280x720. Section, full percentile data, notable outliers. The warning values spike significantly above P95. H.265 P99 encode spikes, 23 milliseconds versus 15 milliseconds mean correlate with IDR frame insertion. AV1 wire max outliers are isolated single-frame events, not systematic. Section, visual breakdown. The stack chart makes the H.264 decoder anomaly immediately visible. Decode, red segment, consumes most of the H.264 bar, while being negligible for H.265 and AV1. The group chart shows two unexpected patterns. H.264E2E is worse at HD than FHD, 245 milliseconds versus 227 milliseconds, and AV1 achieves the lowest E2E at both resolutions despite being the newest codec on the stack. Section, key finding 1, H.264 decode anomaly. The most surprising result, H.264 decode latency is 143 milliseconds at FHD and 170 milliseconds at HD. For reference, H.265 and AV1 decode in 8 to 19 milliseconds at both resolutions. H.264 decode is 7, 20 times slower. The cause is the decoded picture buffer, DPB. The H.264 standard allows decoders to hold a configurable number of reference frames before releasing output. NVIDIA's NVV for L2 decoder on Jetpack 6 holds approximately 4 frames internally before releasing output, even with number B frames equals 0 set on the encoder. At 30 frames per second, 4 frames equals 133 milliseconds of mandatory decoder delay. The measured decode latency, 143 milliseconds at FHD, 170 milliseconds at HD, matches this. Frame delivery latency plus the 4-frame buffer equals the observed numbers. This is not a bug. It is the decoder's DPB configuration. But it means H.264 has hidden latency that does not appear in encoder specifications and is not visible to anyone reasoning only about encoder settings. Section, why HD is slower than FHD. H.264 HD decode, 170 milliseconds, is counterintuitively slower than FHD, 143 milliseconds. This is reproducible across multiple runs and is believed to be a driver-level quirk in the NVV4L2 H.264 decoder path at this Jetpack version. One possible explanation, the driver's DPB management path may have a different code path for small resolution buffers, potentially holding more frames in the buffer when frame sizes are small, since memory pressure is lower. This is consistent with a hold more when you can afford to heuristic in the driver. Regardless of cause, the effect is confirmed and reproducible. Practical implication. If you are using H.264 on Jetson for a latency-sensitive application and observing 200, 250 milliseconds end-to-end latency, the H.264 decoder is likely responsible for roughly 60 to 70% of that latency. Switching to H.265 or AV1 will drop E2E latency by 90 to 120 milliseconds without any other changes. Section, key finding 2, wire latency is governed by parse element look ahead. The wire latency results are counterintuitive at first glance. Wire latency is identical for FHD and HD within the same codec. If wire latency were governed by byte volume on the wire, HD, smaller frames, would be faster than FHD. It is not. The explanation, wire latency is dominated by the parse element frame look ahead, not by byte volume. At 1500 kbps and 30 frames per second, both FHD and HD encode to the same number of bytes per frame, bitrate is fixed. The parse element, H.264 parse, H.265 parse, AV1 parse, reads ahead a fixed number of frames to detect access unit boundaries. H.264 parse and AV1 parse use A2, frame look ahead. 2/30 frame per second equals 66.7 milliseconds is almost equal to 67 milliseconds. H.265 parse uses A3, frame look ahead. 3/30 frame per second equals 100 milliseconds is almost equal to 100 milliseconds. This is why H.265 has 33 milliseconds more wire latency than H.264 and AV1. Not because H.265 frames are larger, they are actually smaller at the same bitrate. but because the H.265 parse element holds one extra frame for AU boundary detection. Network propagation on the LAN is less than 0.5 milliseconds and is buried entirely inside these parse element delays. Practical implication: if you want to reduce wire latency on GStreamer TCP pipelines, look at the parse element configuration, not just the network. Replacing H.265 parse with a lower look ahead alternative, or removing it if your decoder does not require AU framing, can save 33 milliseconds of wire latency. Section, Key Finding 3, AV1 wins end-to-end. AV1's victory deserves explanation because it is not obvious from encoder cost alone. AV1 encode costs 1.5 to 2 milliseconds more per frame than H.265 at both resolutions. However, AV1 wire latency, 67 milliseconds, matches H.264, not H.265, saving 33 milliseconds versus H.265 on wire. AV1 decode latency, 919 milliseconds, is comparable to H.265 decode, 8 to 18 milliseconds. AV1 has no DPB buffering anomaly. AV1 beats H.265 by 30 milliseconds entirely due to the shorter parse element look ahead. It beats H.264 by 123 milliseconds entirely due to H.264's DPB buffering. Section, Encode latency scales with pixel count. Encode latency roughly halves from FHD to HD, as expected for constant bitrate hardware encoders. H.265 is consistently the fastest encoder, 0.9 milliseconds less than H.264, 1.9 milliseconds less than AV1 at FHD. AV1 has the highest encode cost, but the margin is small, 1 milliseconds over H.264 and 2 milliseconds over H.265 at FHD. For a latency budget measured in hundreds of milliseconds, encoder cost differences between codecs are negligible. Section, H.266/VVC, tested and dropped. H.266/VVC was in the original benchmark plan. The GST bench Docker image includes VVENC, encoder, and VVDEC, decoder, compiled from source. It was removed from the measurement matrix for three reasons. No hardware support on Jetson Orin. There is no NVMM, hardware accelerated, VVC encoder or decoder in NVIDIA Jetpack as of L4T are 36.4 times. Both encode and decode run entirely in software on the ARM Cortex, a 78AE CPU cores. Impractically slow for a 30 frames per second benchmark. VVENC at preset fast on ARM 64 achieves approximately 0.3 to 1 frame per second for FHD and 1 to 3 frames per second for HD. Encoding 930 frames, 30s measurement plus 30 warmup takes 10 to 30 minutes per combination. Two combinations add up to an hour of wall time. Synthetic per frame timing. VVENC is a batch encoder, a single process call for the entire sequence. Per frame INC_NS/INC_NS timestamps are synthetic. Total encode time divided evenly across all frames. This gives a valid mean, but no frame level variance, jitter, or decode pipeline timing. The Docker file, sender.py, and receiver.py retain the H.266 code paths for future use when NVIDIA adds VVC hardware support to Jetpack. Section, Notable design decisions in the measurement harness. Is live equals true on video test circ? Without it, the encoder runs at uncapped speed, 200 FPS, fills the TCP server sync internal buffer in 1.5 seconds, and the receiver gets a midstream join without parameter sets or an accurate wire latency baseline. Recover policy equals none buffer softmax equals 300 on TCP server sync. Buffers up to 300 frames while the receiver is connecting. With paused plus client added synchronization, the buffer is always empty when encoding starts, so this is a safety net only. Insert SPSPPS equals true iframe interval equals 30 on H.264/H.265 encoders. Embeds parameter sets at every IDR frame. This is also what allows the receiver to resync cleanly in the event of a midstream TCP reconnect. sequential frame counters on the receiver. After a parse element, each buffer is exactly one frame. Sequential counters, __deck__count__deck__count__ are safe because parse decoder is a 1:1 FIFO with no B frames and TCP is lossless. PTS is not preserved across the TCP connection, so PTS-based matching would require sending explicit frame indices out of band. Cross-host wire latency from time.time__ns. Python's time.time__ns reads the system clock real-time, which Krone EE keeps synchronized. On a well-synchronized Krone EE pair, this is accurate to the clock offset, plus or minus 234 microseconds in this run. GStreamer's own GST clock time none-based system clocks are pipeline local and cannot be compared across hosts. Using time.time__ns in the probe callback is the correct approach. Section, reproduction steps. Section, prerequisites. Two NVIDIA Jetson Orin devices on Jetpack 6, L4T, are 36.4 times GB LAN. SSH key off, passwordless, from dev machine to both Jetsons. Docker installed on both Jetsons with NVIDIA container runtime enabled. Sender and receiver addresses depend on your LAN. Substitute your own IPs throughout. Section, step 1, deploy to both Jetsons. Section, step 2, synchronize clocks. Section, step 3, run the full matrix. Each combination follows this pattern, 6 total. H264, H265, AV1, times, FHD, HD. Each combination takes 36, 40s, 30s measurement, plus warm-up, plus container startup. Total, for minutes. Section, step 4, analyze. Prints a markdown table and writes, /tmp/bench_results/summary.json with full percentile data. Alternatively, if NumPy and Tabulate are installed locally. Section, troubleshooting reference. Section, conclusions. On Jetpack 6 hardware with NVv4 L2 codecs at 30 frames per second /1500 kbps/GB TCP. Use AV1 for latency-sensitive pipelines. 104 milliseconds FHD, 86 milliseconds HD. The encode cost, plus 1 to 2 milliseconds versus H.265, is outweighed by saving 33 milliseconds of wire latency, shorter AV1 parse look-ahead versus H.265 parse, and avoiding H.264's DPB issue. Avoid H.264. The NVV for L2 decoder holds 4 frames before releasing output, adding 130 to 170 milliseconds of hidden latency. H.264 delivers the worst E2E numbers despite being the oldest and most supported codec. The anomaly is driver level and does not respond to number B frames equals 0. Wire latency is a parse element problem, not a network problem. On a GBE LAN, network propagation is less than 0.5 milliseconds. Wire latency is 67 to 100 milliseconds because parse elements perform look-ahead. Choosing AV1 over H.265 saves 33 milliseconds of wire latency purely through this effect. Encode latency is a secondary concern. Differences between codecs at the encoder stage are 1 to 2 milliseconds. For pipelines targeting sub-200 milliseconds E2E, encoder selection is not the lever to pull. Decoder behavior and parse element look-ahead are. The full per-frame CSV data is in results/summary.json after analysis. Section, appendix, full source. All constants are named. No magic numbers. Section, Dockerfile, full source. Section, sender.py, full source. Section, receiver.py, full source. Section, deploy.sh, full source. Section, run_matrix.sh, full source. Section, analyze.py, full source.